Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Estate Planning Department here at Car Talk Plaza. I guess you'd have to call it that, right?
Well, this is a question that we've never had before. And it comes from a guy, I think, Sanjay Shah, who lives in California. Hey, guys, I have a macabre question. I'm both Hindu and a car enthusiast. Hindus customarily get cremated when we die. I'm putting together my will and would like to require my ashes to be spread in a poetic and meaningful way. Isn't this a good question already?
Yeah, it is.
So here's my idea. I want my ashes deposited into the gas tank. The gas tank,
yeah,
of my favorite car. Then I want the car driven down my favorite river road in California. My question is this. Will this last act of poetry also destroy the car? If so, will I need to make arrangements for the car to be followed by a tow truck?
Well, maybe you can cremate the car, too.
Thank you, Sanjay Shah.
Jeez, well, what's likely to happen, I think, is the fuel filter is going to get plugged up.
And that's about it.
And then whatever gets past the fuel filter may get to the injectors, if that's possible.
But it's going to get plugged up there. So the answer is yes, you need a tow truck.
You might need a tow truck. It depends how long a ride it is. I think if it's you wouldn't be satisfied putting the ashes, like, in the back seat.
No, he wants them in the gas tank.
In the gas tank. I don't quite understand.
And he deserves to have what he wants. It's the last thing he's going to be able to say to us.
See, I think we'd get better distributed if this river road is his favorite.
Yeah.
Then I would suggest that there would be better distribution if they didn't get stuck in the fuel filter, at which point they're just going to get thrown in the trash when that plugged fuel filter gets replaced. Rather, the urn should be affixed somehow to the
So when you get to be 100 yards from the...
So as you're driving along, the wind that's being created by your driving is sucking the ashes out, so they're getting distributed over the entire countryside.
That's not what he wants.
Well, I'm asking him to rethink it. Well, anyway, if you have a question about your car...
It's the guy's last will and testament, and you as though you should tell him how to do it?
Hey, he wrote the letter. We didn't ask for the letter. He wrote it. Anyway... If you have a question about your will or your car, give us a call. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Becca calling you from Somerville, Massachusetts.
Hi, Becca.
Hello.
What part of Somerville?
Well, I know. I'm probably just right around the corner from you guys. I work at Gentle Giant, which is right on the Cambridge-Somerville line.
Gentle Giant is a moving company for those. Is that a nationwide moving company?
Well, we are now, yes.
Do you know... If you walk up the street, you will walk right to the house that I grew up in.
Oh.
Yes, it's now an empty lot.
No, it's not.
So you were born way back in the days when people were actually born in the house. When you say, I was born in the house.
On the ironing board.
Yeah. With the midwives attending, right?
Visit your old haunting grounds on one of my lunch breaks.
Well, see, speaking of the ironing board in that house is the place where my tonsils were removed.
Way too much information.
The doctor came to the house one day to take out my sister's tonsils, and he said, you want a twofer? I'll do this kid too. And so we both got our tonsils out on the same day, and he did it on the stupid ironing board.
Didn't he lash you down with a sheet or something so you wouldn't thrash about?
And I think I still remember it.
It's a little traumatic. I think I remember it, too. And they lashed you down, hit you with the frying pan to knock you out and took your tonsils out. Is that the way it went? Oh, they gave you a shot of brandy and a bullet to bite on?
Nothing.
Anyway, Becca.
Becca, thanks for calling.
What's on your mind?
Well, I have a 1996 Toyota Tacoma, which I love. But last week, it started making a really strange sound with the clutch. When I would push it to the floor, it would sound like very creaky old mattress springs.
It was going down to the...
Yeah, well, I had to put a lot of pressure to try to get it down to where I could switch gears.
How many miles are on this thing?
It has about 136,000 miles.
Yeah. When you say you push it down and you have this noise, does the noise continue while you're holding the pedal down?
I think that it's just... just when the pedal is moving down.
Right.
But I let it rest for a week. I was on vacation, so I let the truck rest for a week. And since I've come back...
Stop doing it.
Well, not completely. It's still, if I push it down all the way, it still has that horrendous squeaky sound. But if I only push it down a little way, I can change gears all of a sudden very easily.
Go away for another week.
it'll be perfect when you get back.
Well, I'm going to guess that with 136,000, it's probably time for a new clutch.
A new clutch.
And
absolutely.
The clutch has been changed once, like from the previous owners.
Okay. Well, I mean, what happens? I mean, these kinds of clutches, which are called Bellevue clutches, as they wear out. Okay, mm-hmm. And the fingers of the clutch get farther and farther away from the flywheel. They require more effort to disengage the clutch. So you haven't noticed it, but over the months that it's been going bad, you've been having to push harder and harder on that pedal. Okay, and now the week's vacation you took gave your left leg a chance to recover. Have you noticed that your left leg is a heck of a lot bigger than the right leg? We do like wearing a size 10 shoe on one foot and a size 7A on the other. So it may be that you've just gotten stronger, but I think what happens as the clutch wears out, it requires more effort as those fingers become higher and higher.
Right.
And I think that's part of the noise you're hearing, not to mention the fact that it could be the clutch fork that's giving out or the throttle bearing, the release bearing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think no matter what, when someone isolates the noise, and you can do this, you can get it to make this noise with the engine off, by the way.
Oh.
I believe so. If you just sit there and step on that pedal, you should be able to hear, and it may simply be that the fork needs lubrication. But take it someplace, they'll put it on the lift. They'll know in a minute where the noise is coming from, and either they'll lube the pivot ball or they'll say, look, this whole thing's got to come apart and you need a new release bearing and a new clutch.
Well, it doesn't sound horribly dreadful.
No, it's just a few hundred.
Okay. Well, thank you guys very much.
Bye. Thanks for calling.
More
bye.
Than a few.
Bye-bye.
it's a few and a few.
A few and a few more.
It's a few
to take it out, and if you want it to go back together
it's a few more.
It's a few more.
888, got it. I wanted to break it to her easy. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, fellas. This is Josh from Chicago.
How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How are you guys?
Not bad.
Well, not bad. What's going on?
Excellent. Hey, I've got a 99 Toyota Corolla, and I've got a body problem. So
I have a body problem, too.
Yeah, that's right. So I was driving past a construction site a couple months ago, and all of a sudden I see out of my peripheral vision this gray liquid flying onto the side of my car.
Uh-huh.
I thought that I was just being strafed by a flock of birds or something like this. So I didn't do anything about it.
It was concrete. Yeah.
And by the time I realized it was concrete...
It was pretty solid.
In fact, it was completely solid and cured.
Really?
Got any ideas?
Well,
of course we have ideas.
Is it only on the door?
One spot's on the glass. And I assume I can probably just get that off, you know, with a scraper.
A razor blade.
Yeah.
A single-edge razor blade will take it off the glass, and it won't have any lasting effect on the glass.
Yeah. The body part is what I'm worried about, because obviously I don't want to... I mean, if I got it off but then had huge scratches, you know, it's not really much.
Well, the thing is, I think if you just whacked it with a rubber mallet, it would come right off.
A lot of it might come right off.
Because, I mean,
really?
It's not attached very well because it's stuck to a very smooth surface. And concrete doesn't work that well on a very smooth surface.
Huh.
I think it's going to fall right off.
Well, I have even a crazier idea.
Okay. I was hoping for some sort of dangerous chemical solvent.
That's exactly what I'm about to recommend, Josh.
Dangerous chemical solvent.
You'll need,
that is better.
The first thing you need to do is go to the local Army-Navy store and buy yourself one of those gas masks.
Okay.
Then you need to go and you need to buy whatever the highest concentration of muriatic acid is. Well, muriatic acid is what's always been used to remove concrete. In fact, if brickwork is done on your house, there's always some mortar that gets on the bricks, and it's often washed off with muriatic acid, and then washed off with water.
And what pray tell does it do to automotive paint?
I don't think muriatic acid affects paint at all. But I would try it on a neighbor's car first. You know, but yet I don't think it's going to affect the finish.
Oh, stop it.
Haven't you? No, my brother does not watch enough late night TV. There's one of those commercials for one of those fancy waxes, which they try to sell you when you're, you know, when you're kind of the Italian. I don't know what the English word is, but the Italian word is ndundida. When you're like in a fog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm a huge sucker for those kind of things.
You know,
actually.
So I see one of these things, and one of the things they're doing is they're pouring acid on the finish of the car, of course, after it's been waxed with this wax.
Right.
Well, it turns out somebody told me that acid won't affect the finish on a car.
Okay.
But I would certainly try this. You know, you can try it. Go to a junkyard with all your equipment.
Yeah.
You know, with the gas mask and the hazmat suit and all that, and try it on a junk fender.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't, because if that does the trick, that will absolutely remove the concrete.
Hey.
It's better than banging it, scraping it, whacking it, or anything else, because you'll let the power of chemistry do the work for you.
Yeah.
I do like that.
And you can call us next week, and we'll tell you what car to replace.
Well, that's the trouble. We just bought a car for my wife. So
you'll come out the next morning, and all four tires will have melted and stuck to the ground. I would make sure you give it a good rinse when you're done.
I'll do it.
And then
I'll
park it in a different spot. Good luck, Josh.
Hey, thanks a lot,
Bob. Yeah, try to do this in an environmentally conscientious manner.
I will.
If that's
will.
Possible.
All right.
See ya.
It
must be great
thanks,
to
fellas.
Be able
Bye-bye.
To sit in the comfort of your own living room and call experts to get advice like this.
Yeah, who would they be? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. I guarantee you we're going to get emails from the Concrete Institute of America.
We'll get emails, all right.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Will from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Will, how you doing?
Will, what's going on?
Good, good. I could be in trouble here. I don't know. I'm 39, and I'm at that season where I'm ready to get a sports car. So
yeah.
I bought a 99 Porsche for $14,000, a Porsche Boxster. It's got 104,000 miles on it.
Okay.
The problem, it's got the automatic transmission, and it's sort of winding up high. Like, it doesn't always change through the gears like when you expect it to go to the next gear.
Why would you want a Boxster with an automatic transmission?
What were you thinking? It's candy apple red with a tan leather interior, and I just had to go for it.
You went for form over function here. It's pretty obvious. So so the shift points are, does it eventually shift?
Yeah, it eventually shifts, and the Tiptronic transmission, that works fine in that mode.
Yeah.
But for some reason, when it's going through the gears naturally, it gets sort of drawn out in third or so, and the RPMs go way up. It's just like real loud. Sounds like you're in an airplane or something.
Yeah, so how high does it go in third gear?
I'm not sure.
I think you're about to find out here why it was so available.
Well, yeah. That's my question. Am I, like, totally up the creek now? Is, like, Porsche transmissions, like...
Forget it.
You a homeowner, Will?
Yeah.
You won't be for long.
You won't be for long. I need to get the car. I'm a homeowner, so I have a little equity leverage.
Yeah. Well, you might have to have the transmission rebuilt. I mean, it sounds like there's something sticking, but it could be an actuator or a solenoid that's doing it. But you're going to have to take it into somebody and... I hate to say this. I think you're going to have to take it to the Porsche dealer.
I think so, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's worth taking it there. Find out what's wrong with it. If it's something disastrous, forget about it and just keep driving it.
Well, and you can drive it in the Tiptronic mode because it's perfectly okay in that mode because you're overriding all that automatic stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do that all the time and forget about this transmission.
Yeah, and it'll
problem.
Be just like you have a stick shift.
Exactly.
Which is what you wanted in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I know this is a tough call, but I think you're gonna have to take it someplace. And when they give you the estimate,
you'll go right to Tiptronic.
Now, I'm not so sure they give you a straight estimate right off. You might get an estimate on the estimate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They say, look, it's gonna cost you
between $2,000 and $10,000.
Yeah, I think the first price they give you is gonna be the price to give you the estimate. Right? Because they might not know everything, in fact, until they take it out. So they'll say, look, we've got to take the thing out, and that's going to cost you $1,000. And then if you're lucky, you know, it's a loose wire. and that's going to cost you another $800, and then, of course, another $1,000 to put it back in. But if they discover it needs a whole rebuild, you know, you could spend many thousands.
Or forget about it.
So,
isn't forgetting about it better than that?
Does your wife know you own this car?
No, not yet. Yeah.
I had a feeling.
Well, where has it been hiding, or where has she been hiding?
Yeah, she's on vacation now. So
oh, boy.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
I was going to surprise it like, as a gift for her.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right, well.
Hey, Will, I wish you the very best because you're going to need it.
Oh, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for your help.
Good. And you weren't going to tell us at any point, I'm sure, that she didn't know about it.
Well, I was planning on it, yeah, so.
Yeah, sure. Okay, well, good luck. Yeah, you are going to need it.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you later.
All right, bye.
All right, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, I'll have the answer to last week's puzzle, which involved dates.
Oh, I'm interested.
No, these are dates like on a calendar.
I'm less interested.
I somehow knew that. It's a good puzzler, actually, and I'll have the whole story along with the answer, and we'll take a lot more of your car questions, too.
So please stay tuned.
With a $100 paint job and brand new stereo, thought I'd be driving a miracle mile. But a tire came off and the alternator died before I even got to the highway. This old car.
And even though listeners think this is a really bad April Fool's joke whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which is about dates.
Exactly. Now, for the longest time, we used to, in our closing credits, refer to David Green, our hardworking associate producer, as Rain Man. Now, we assigned him this seemingly disparaging moniker due to one of his many peculiarly impressive abilities. You could give David a date on the calendar, and instantly and effortlessly, he'd tell you what day of the week it was.
Yeah, he was using his iPhone.
No, I guess I didn't notice that.
You didn't, huh?
No. Anyway, he recently demonstrated this talent when I asked if there was a conflict between the upcoming Fuzzy Dice Convention, which, of course, we had hoped to attend, and our court-ordered weekly community service. He asked the date of the convention, and I said, April 20th, 2012. Oh, he said right away, that's a Friday. And since your sentences are served on Wednesdays, you guys are good to go. And, of course, he was right. Well, a few weeks ago, I happened to be in the office, and I asked out loud, what day of the week is June 5th? And of all people, my brother pipes up and says, that's a Tuesday.
Mm.
David looks at me and says, I don't know how he did it, but he's right. And it is a phrase he almost never utters when my brother's around. Okay, I said to Tommy, assuming that it was just a lucky guess, how about October 3rd? Oh, Wednesday, Tommy says. He's right again. Mm-hmm. All right, I say, Mr. Funny Man, how about Christmas Day 2012? Tuesday, says Tom, and David nods in agreement. So the question is, do we now have two Rain Men in the office, or had Tommy figured out some trick? Well, here's what was going on.
Yeah.
Well, Tommy was using something called anchor dates. And these dates apply to each and every year. And you ready for this? Because it's kind of fun. April 4th, or 4-4, we'll call it from now on. June 6th, or 6-6, 8-8, 10-10, 12-12 are all the same day of the week, each and every year. Okay.
Yeah.
So too.
I know that.
So too are 5-9 and 9-5. Okay. May 9th and September 5th. And so too are 7-11 and 11-7. And all the above dates are the same day of the week as is the last day in February, leap year or not. And they're all the same day as January 4th. It would otherwise be January 3rd, but this is a leap year, and that changes the anchor day from January 3rd to January 4th. Okay?
Yes.
So Tommy also knew that New Year's Day was a Sunday. He was sobered up by then. And he knew it was a Sunday because Christmas was a Sunday in 2011. Yeah. So New Year's Day is a Sunday. Okay, so the anchor day for 2012, January 4th, has to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Right? As are, so if that's a Wednesday, 4, 4, 6, 6, 8, 8, 10, 10, 12, 12, 5, 9, 9, 5, 7, 11, 11, 7, and February 29th, all the same day of the week, and they're all Wednesdays. So when I asked, for example, about October 3rd, he knew October 10th was a Wednesday, right? 10, 10. So 10-3 must also be a Wednesday, right? 12-12 is a Wednesday in 2012. So is 12-26, which is 2 weeks later. So 12-25, or Christmas Day, must be a Tuesday. Pretty cute, eh?
I thought so.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Rachel Geisey from Cleveland Heights, Ohio. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Rachel's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a stylish Car Talk baseball cap.
Not from us, she can't. Show me one baseball cap that we have that's even close to being stylish.
All right, we'll just say you get a baseball cap, Rachel. That's it.
Actually, the one we have is black with a red and yellow Car Talk logo. And because of those colors, it has an added feature. I guess it makes you look patriotic if you wear it in Belgium.
Okie dokie.
Anyway, stay tuned for another new puzzler in the third half of the show. In the meantime, call us and ask us your car questions. We're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Billy calling from Marston's Mills, Massachusetts.
Billy.
Billy, Marston's Mills, that's way out west, right?
No, it's on the Cape. Oh, it's close enough.
Yep. I drive a 1990 Toyota four-wheel drive pickup, and it's making this strange seal noise. Not seal like gasket, seal like... exactly. Coming from the front, only when it's really cold out.
Hmm. And when does it make the noise?
Sometimes it'll make it just as soon as I pull out of the driveway. Sometimes I can drive a little ways, and then if I hit a slight bump or turn the wheel, it'll start making the noise. But I can make it stop by shaking the wheel.
Oh, by shaking the wheel left to right?
Yeah.
But does it also stop if you stop moving?
Yeah, yeah. But then also it sounds like it's something rotating because, you know, the faster I go, it's... And then, the slower it slows down.
Sounds like you're being chased by mad seals. It must have been pretty scary the first time. I mean, I'm sure you looked in the rearview mirror. Yeah. Dogs were chasing you.
Yeah, I pulled right over, looked underneath. I thought I was dragging something. I had no idea.
So let me get this straight now. It goes away if you move the steering wheel left to right and shake it left and right.
Yep. Or sometimes if I hit another bump, it'll go away also.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, does it go away eventually and stay away if you continue to drive it?
Yes, it does. Once it warms up, like if I drive for a long time, it doesn't happen. And it only happens at like slower speeds, like actually my speedometer doesn't work, so it doesn't happen above about third gear, 35, about 2,700 RPMs.
Right. And is it likely to be worse in cold weather?
It only happens in cold weather. Actually, it stopped happening now because it's around like 50s.
So we've asked these pertinent questions, all of which you've answered in exactly the way that we expected you to.
And we have no idea.
And we don't have any.
But we're going to ask you to make the seal sound again while we think about it.
it slows down, though. Sometimes it's just slowing down.
Yeah.
When you're slowing down.
This has locking hubs. You have to get out and lock these hubs.
Nope, automatic.
This has automatic hubs.
And it also makes this noise in four-wheel drive.
Yeah, well, I'm going to guess that in cold weather, one of the hubs is not going free. And I'm going to suggest that you might be able to get this to stop doing this if you were to stop the thing and back it up for a period of time.
Ah.
And I think that one of the hubs is just locking up. And then when it finally heats up, when you get enough rotations on this one wheel or both front wheels that are making the noise, the grease begins to loosen up and the hub releases. And that's, I think that's the noise you're hearing. I've heard this before on other Toyota pickups.
Well, my mechanic put it up, and he said the brakes were fine, you know, the suspension was fine, and of course, it didn't make the noise when
right,
I drove with him.
Because it was
in the garage.
It was warmed up probably by the time you got it.
Tell him he's going to move the lift outside.
I'll bring that up next time.
No, I think what you have to do is leave it with him overnight.
Yeah.
You know, because you might have to wait until next winter, because winter's over now, and it's not going to make the noise now until next December.
Right.
Yeah, by which time you may total it.
Right. You make it hit by a tabletop pie truck or something. You know, those things happen.
And you'll have a wonderful summer. But
if it's still doing it next year, have him put it up on the lift after you've left it at his place overnight with
and
everything
he'll
stone cold.
Out.
He'll run it and he'll say, oh, yeah, these front hubs need to be repacked.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But it's not to worry. There are a lot of those pie trucks around. See you, Billy. Wear your seatbelt. Thanks for your call.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I got a letter for you.
This really?
Actually, it's a letter, and yet it's a puzzler.
I'm ready.
It's from some guy named Bob Levitra from Daytona Beach. Hey, guys. Two cargo ships collide head-on in the middle of the South Pacific. The cargo of the eastbound ship. That would be like this way.
The one heading toward, like, Japan.
Eastbound. No, the one like,
oh, that's
headed
toward California.
California.
Right. That's westbound, right.
That's right.
But they call Japan the east.
They do. They're wrong.
It should be the west.
It should be the west. It is the west. The cargo of the eastbound ship has machine parts, hand tools, and 135,000 gallons of red paint.
Got it?
The westbound ship, that's the one going to the east.
Right.
To the Far East.
Got it.
The westbound ship going to the Far East is loaded with computer parts, electronic testers, and 37,000 gallons of brown paint. Got it? Thanks to superior survival training, not a man or officer was lost, even though both ships split apart and sank to the bottom. The question is, what happened to the survivors before their rescue 3 days later?
Huh?
It's not a clear question, so I'll just give you the answer. They were all...
swimming.
Marooned.
Oh.
Isn't that the worst joke you've ever heard?
Well, does it count the two you told us before the show?
I loved it. They were marooned. Okay.
Well, if you have anything better for my brother, just
see how desperate I am.
Just send it to Mass Correctional Institute. I mean, send it to Car Talk Plaza. Sorry, I almost gave away your home address there. Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email him from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us right now about your car or anything else that's bothering you, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 88-82-27-82-55.
And what was Avogadro's number again?
1.something×10^something.
Oh, okay. What's the area code
1.022 times 10 to the 23rd.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is, of course, the number of brain cells that I have.
I hope so. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Whitney calling from Holderness, New Hampshire.
Holderness?
Yep.
Whitney. Holderness.
Holderness. It's right...
next to Colderness?
It's right across the river from Plymouth, New Hampshire.
Ah, that's good. That's where the Pilgrims landed, right?
Right. Well, Plymouth Rock.
Plymouth Rock.
The home of Plymouth State College, actually.
Ah, I knew that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Just give us a rough idea. How far north?
It takes about an hour and a half to get to Boston on 93.
Oh.
Oh, it's close.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate we've never heard of it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we're only kidding. We're
boors and yahoos. I mean, we don't go killing animals, so why would we go to New Hampshire? So what's up, Whitney?
Well, I'll tell you my problem. I've got like a two-part question for you guys.
Good, I love those.
Yeah, and it's kind of a conflict with my husband type thing.
I love those, too.
Yeah, yeah. We have a Jeep Cherokee Laredo, and that's like a 97, and we have a 97 Volvo 850 station wagon. And my husband has this thing with not filling, he likes to let the lights go on until he gets gas, you know?
Yeah.
And our, for instance, I'll be like, well, I'm going to run down and pick up the pizza. I'm, you know, I'll take the Volvo. We switch back and forth sometimes. He'll go, ooh, we're going to have to get some gas, you know? I'll get in the car, and the light will go on. And I'll go back in. I go, what are you doing? Uh-huh. He's like, oh, we'll just swing down and get some gas. I'm like, why do you let it go that far? It's not good for the car. He thinks that I'm completely wrong. But my question is, like, isn't it bad for cars, like, that are fuel injected if we run out of gas?
It's not. No, it isn't bad to run out of gas.
I mean, it's always bad to run out of gas in general.
Yeah.
not because it's detrimental necessarily, right. But we are of the belief, however, mm-hmm. that it is not good for the fuel pump, which in yeah. both of these cars resides inside the gas tank.
Right.
To run with the tank close to empty because the fuel actually cools the pump.
Well, I mean, close to empty. This is what he does. I'll get in the Jeep, and it's got one of those computer consoles at the top.
Miles to empty, it tells you.
Yeah, right? So I'll get in. We live 2.5 miles up on top of this hill, thank God. And I'll get in the Jeep, and it'll say, okay, miles till empty, zero. All right? And he'll look at me, and he'll be like, we can make it, honey. Right?
It's like that episode of Seinfeld.
It is. Like we're holding hands, you know, as we coast into the gas station. Woo! You know?
Has he ever explained to you why he does this?
I don't know. Adventure? I don't know.
Is that it?
I don't know.
Is there not enough excitement in his life?
We just had a baby in September. I think there would be.
But, no, evidently not enough. You know, he clearly, there's no question. This guy does not have enough excitement in his life. He needs to take a bungee jumping, spelunkering. I mean, this guy needs to do, you got to get him help right away.
You think?
Yeah, the next thing you know, he's going to be calling you from Nepal. He's gonna be studying yak husbandry.
but if we're coasting down the hill on fumes quite often, is that bad for the environment?
No.
It's not?
No.
No, that doesn't. The first part of your question, does it harm the engine?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It might harm the fuel pump.
My brother's theory. Unsubstantiated by anybody. But it might be true because we know he's a genius.
I just have empirical evidence.
And he owes me money. But the second thing, I mean, this is not very mature behavior.
I know.
Now he needs help.
He does need help.
He's crying out. Don't
My
ignore
brother's
his,
right.
Don't ignore him.
I'll think of something. Maybe we need a vacation.
He needs more than a vacation.
Yeah.
Maybe like parachuting.
Yeah,
you know,
there you
something.
Go. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs something. I don't
yeah,
know what it is.
Yeah, maybe he needs to work on, like, the bomb squad or something. He needs more excitement.
What does he do for a living?
He works for the Holderness School. He's in development.
Oh, not good enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, he needs a little development himself. See, I would be careful here, Whitney, because
okay.
How long have you been married?
A little over 3 years.
Yeah, I'd be careful because I think he's having a little bit of... an adjustment problem. I can see it that he's yearning for his carefree days.
Well, I said to him the other day, where like someone won this big lottery thing, and I said, "Honey, I said, what would you do if you won the lottery?" And he goes,
"You don't want to know."
He goes, "I go buy he wants a convertible Mustang with a '56 Mustang or something like that."
Why are we not surprised?
And I said, "He goes, you leave Helen and I, and you take off in this fast car." And he goes, No, I'd come back and get Helen.
There you go. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Well, good luck. I hope you can nip this in the bud, but it's going
to
take something creative.
I'll think of something.
Fast.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
See you, Whitney.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Boy, oh, boy is right.
Okay, look, before we get to this week's brand new puzzler, we're going to pause here.
Is this where we give our stations a chance to identify themselves, perhaps?
Well, no. This is where we give them a chance to look around and see if there's anything better they can put up with the air for the next 20 minutes. And if they don't find anything, we'll be here.
When I got word you were in Louisiana, I left my job right away. I bought a used car in Tallahassee, Florida, for half of my last week's pay. All I could afford was a heavy metal Hudson with no backseat and 30 years of rust on. Thank you.
And even though Neanderthals, think back to the good old days, B.C., before Car Talk, whenever we say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Go, baby!
And I thought, because baseball season is upon us, that I should use one of my many fine baseball puzzlers.
Yes.
And I don't know who sent this in. It was a long, long time ago. I suspect this was in the era. This was faxed to us. This is in the era before email.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this might have been like 1925 or so.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Lefty McDougal, star pitcher of the Kenosha Ramblers, had an incentive clause in his contract that guaranteed him an extra $1,000 if he won 20 games during the season.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably can figure out, it's the last game of the season.
It was 1925.
Yeah, it was the last game of the season, and Lefty has 19 victories, and he's scheduled to be that day's starting pitcher.
Yeah.
And the opponent is a lousy team. They've had a lousy record, and he knows that he's gonna win the money. Well, as luck would have it, an hour before the game, his manager approaches him, and he says, "You ain't starting, Lefty." And Lefty asks, "Why not?" He said, "The owner of the team came and said, if you start this bum, if he throws even one pitch, you're losing your job."
Ooh.
So Lefty's dejected. He said, "Geez, I was going to buy a new house in the Hamptons with that $1,000. And now I don't know what I'm going to do." So he's obviously discouraged. The manager is discouraged because he has great regard for Lefty. And he says, "Geez, how can I get this guy to win his 20th game and collect his bonus?
And not throw a pitch.
And not throw a single pitch." And in fact, that's what happens.
Wow.
Lefty wins the game without throwing a single pitch. And the question is, how could he possibly do it? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or something larger, if you like, or the back of a $26 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or, of course, you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But if you'd like to call us right now, and I know you're dying to, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joyce from Los Angeles.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 1998 Volvo S70.
Okay.
And I have this sound, which I will happily recreate for you as best as I can.
Tell us the circumstances under which the sound occurs.
You make the sound first, and we'll try to tell you the circumstances.
All right, we'll tell you. All right.
Oh, okay. There are two versions.
Yeah.
One goes something like this. And then the other goes something like this.
Oh, this happens when you start off. When you start off in the morning or when you're slowing down.
Bingo. Do I win something?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, do we win something?
Oh, yeah, that's how it goes.
That's how it goes.
But, yes, cold at a start or at an idle or turning the engine off, too.
Oh, so if you come home from work or wherever,
yes.
You pull into your driveway or wherever you pull into, you turn off the key. And you hear that noise?
Yes, that's the winding down version.
And is that noise there no matter when you turn the key off?
It's intermittent. It's not completely consistent.
And so let's go back to when it makes it when you take off. So you're sitting there, the engine is running, but you're not moving.
It'll sound like it's revving up or a jet engine opening up.
Mm-hmm. This is before you even start moving.
Yeah.
So you start the car in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and you're just sitting there. And it goes, ooh.
Yeah, very slowly. And then it just sort of creeps up with the sound. And then once I start going, let's say I put it in reverse to get out of the driveway.
Yeah.
It'll still do it.
Does it stay there?
No, it seems to have a duration of maybe, a bunch of seconds.
And it stops.
And then it's done. And then I just carry on. And it's fine.
Okay, I've got it.
Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like a fan making noise. Would that be a fair thing to say, Joyce?
Yes, it could be a fan.
Ah.
The tough part for me has been because it's intermittent, it's difficult to have it happen while it's at the mechanics.
Yeah,
see?
Right.
Oh, so what you're saying is you may be the only person on the planet who's ever heard this noise. And you want us to believe that this is actually taking place.
Yeah, I just go in and I think, please tell me I'm not crazy.
So you have friends, coworkers, significant others, anyone else is actually...
I have witnesses.
You have witnesses.
Oh, you do have some witnesses.
I have friends, relatives, and... You know, hitchhikers.
Yeah.
I just pick people up and
did
say,
you get
can
the
you
names and addresses of these hitchhikers?
Yeah.
Yes, because you wanted some corroboration here.
Well, I went in with testimonials, but, you know, it hasn't worked out for me yet.
See, what I think it is, I think it's the heater fan making noise.
Heater?
Do you?
Yeah, the blower. You know, the...
Well, that was my next question was going to be, can you tell where it's coming from? Does it sound more like it's coming from under the dashboard or under the hood?
It sounds to me like the under the hood.
And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, there's another fan under the hood, not to worry.
Okay, it sounds like it's coming from under the dashboard.
Well, no, I mean, there's a cooling fan under the hood, and it certainly could be that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I imagine this thing has automatic climate control. So you've got it set probably for 70.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Living in L.A. And you don't go turning the heat and defrost. All the thing's just set for 70 because that's what you folks out there are used to.
That's right.
Right? So you set it for, you never move the thing. So it's entirely possible that when you get in the car and start it up, of course, the air conditioner starts up.
Well, I turn it off, though. I turn the fan off every time.
You do?
Yeah.
That takes care of my brother's
idea. Do you want to do that for?
See, it sounds to me like something that's coming up to speed. And when it gets up to speed... It's okay.
Well, you know what? It could be something like your evaporative emission control thing. You know, there's a canister that is supposed to absorb vapors from your gas tank instead of releasing them to the atmosphere. And then when the engine starts, it takes these vapors and it sucks them into the intake.
Wait, that's got a fan?
No, but it doesn't have a fan, but it has a vacuum operated device which could make that kind of a noise.
Ah.
And that's why I think it stops at some point. So you're going to have to get somebody. This ain't going to be easy, Joyce.
Okay.
You're going to have to hire someone to live in the car.
Yeah.
Preferably under the hood.
Well, I'll tell you one great thing about modern cars, and it's especially true of sophisticated modern cars, is that the slightest little infraction almost always turns on the check engine light. So if there is a device that's misbehaving for any reason, eventually, and probably sooner than you think, it's going to set that check engine light, and then it'll be easier for someone to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
You know. And until then, I mean, my attitude is if it's not affecting the way the car runs and nobody can figure it out, just keep driving it.
Okay.
Let me ask one more thing.
Okay.
You've probably never done this, but what if you start the car in the morning and it doesn't make any noise?
Mm-hmm.
What if you shut it off and start it again, and it doesn't make any noise? What if you did that 10 times? Would you get the noise sooner or later?
I've never done it. You're right.
If you can do it that way, that's what you have to do when you go to the mechanic.
Of course.
All right. I'll try doing that.
So every morning, get out there,
start it, shut
it off, start it, shut it off, until you get it to make the noise, and then you'll know you'll be able to reproduce it when you go to the guy.
That's brilliant.
Well, I wouldn't say it's brilliant, but
just
lucky
good.
Once in a while.
Close enough.
See you, Joyce. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
It's nothing serious. We're pretty sure of that.
Okay.
Yeah, and tell your lawyer that, too.
I'll be calling you back.
All right.
Bye. Thank you.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joe from Moraga, California.
Hi,
hey, Joe.
Moraga?
Moraga, California.
Oh, Moraga.
Yeah.
Where's that?
It's just east of Oakland.
Oh, okay.
No kidding.
Oh, we know where Oakland is. I think we've been there once or twice.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, my 78-year-old father wants to buy a new car, and he asked me for advice. And I, off the top of my head, I told him, hey, Dad, get a hybrid, because he just drives around town, doesn't do a lot of freeway driving anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so they went down to the Honda dealer yesterday, and the Honda dealer said, nah, you don't need a hybrid. You ought to get yourself just a regular car, because hybrids are just good for high mileage. And that seems counter to everything I understand about hybrids, that they're best for just driving around town.
Oh, in other words, they not so much high. Well, I think they think he's not going to save enough money on gas per year, because he's only going to drive 1,000 miles a year.
Maybe that.
Yeah, in which case...
In which case, it doesn't matter what his mileage is. And they're right about that. I mean, if you're only going to drive a few thousand miles a year, why do you want to get 50 miles to the gallon?
Right, might as well get a Lincoln Town Car.
Might as well.
What does he want? I mean, there's a guy who's probably had a lot of cars in his lifetime, and maybe he's never had a car that he really wanted. You know, we often make compromises. And, you know, I've had a bunch of minivans and whatnot, not because I wanted to, because I had to.
Yeah.
And, you know, now that I've kind of broken out, you know, I feel like I can get anything I want because I don't need those.
And look at the Jeeps that you end up with now. He'll take any car that a customer says, you can have it. I don't want it anymore. He says, I'll take it.
Is the engine blown? Because if it isn't blown, I don't want it. So do you have any inkling what he might want?
You know, my guess is that he would want something kind of small. He's not a very flashy guy. And, you know, he's driving a 1983 Honda Accord that looks like he just drove it off the sales lot. I mean, he's really good with his cars, and he's a retired tool and die maker. And
how many miles on this 83 car?
My guess is probably about 70.
Does he want to sell it?
70,000.
No, I mean,
but you know, he just got into his head that he wants a car with airbags and safety features, and I'm all for that.
Gee, I mean,
well, he could easily get another Accord, you know, because the Accord, the new Accord's going to have all that stuff that he wants. Going to have ABS and stability control and airbags and all that stuff, and that may be just the ticket for him.
How much time are you willing to donate to this cause?
Today. Beyond today,
I mean,
you know.
I was gonna...
a fair amount, you know, yeah.
So that's good, because the guy's 78 years old, and this may be the last car he buys. I think you should spend a couple of Saturdays with him, taking him around to dealerships, things you would never think of.
And then take him out to lunch and have some fun, you know.
I mean,
he may forget that he wants a car.
He probably will. What are we doing here? No, I mean, take him to the, who knows? He might want a Mini.
Ooh, a Mini.
He might see the Mini and say, my God, this is the greatest thing. You never know.
Well,
I would take him to see.
Our father drove behemoths all his life. In fact, he drove a truck for a living. But his personal car, you know, he had two of them in a row, I think. Two monster Chrysler Newports. I mean, these things
were
like
25 feet
Iowa
long.
Class battleships. They were enormous. You could seat six across. And we kept trying to convince him to buy a smaller car. It would be
well. He needed the big car. It was him and his wife.
Yeah. Oh, they needed. Yeah. They needed it to keep their distance from one another.
They needed a six passenger car.
Well, to my dad's credit, he's gone in the right direction on that front, because his first car was a '58 Impala, and then he got a '68 Ford Galaxy, and then he went with the '83 Accord.
Oh, so
he's going in the right direction.
He's going in the right direction. He may fall. I mean, there are lots of cars to choose from, and I think it would be unfair to just take him to one dealership. I think you ought to make a big plans to spend a few Saturdays doing this.
Yeah. He'll see one or two that really turn him on.
I'll tell you a little story. A few years ago, while Dad was still with us, I decided I was going to take him to buy a pair of shoes, and he liked to wear those things called boat shoes. You know what those are?
Mm-hmm.
And so we go to the shoe store, big shoe store, and a lot of salespeople. And he tries a pair on. You know, his whole life he wore like size 9.5. You know, so he tries a pair on, and he walks around the store, and he says to the salesman, he said, "Geez, it's kind of a little tight." He said, "Do you have something maybe a little wider?" And the fellow says, "Well, they only come in one width." He said, "But maybe we can try a 10. So he takes a size 10 out and he tries those on, and he says, "Well, no, these are too big." He said, "Well, maybe some other manufacturer, you know." So we look around and come up with a different shoe, and he tries those. "No, these, I don't like the color of these." To make a long story a little longer, we spent with the salesman about 35 minutes, at which point I said to the fellow, "Look, show me where these things are, and I'll just go and take them out of the boxes. We'll try them on, because we may be here for 4 or 5 hours. And so we continue to do this with him rejecting one pair or another for whatever reason. And I finally had an inspiration after we had been there for a very long time. I had him try on again the very first pair of shoes that he tried. He put them on and he said,
"These are perfect.
These are great. Where the hell were you hiding these for the last 3 hours?" He said, "Let's get out of here and have lunch." So be prepared for that, and good luck, Joe.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye.
Did we help him?
No. We just let him know what he's in store for. Yeah. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kara McKnight. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Calumet Alouette Stale Baguette Vinaigrette Crepe Suzette and Tagamet Food Fet, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otek Ashawa. Our child care provider is A. Hugh Nokatoff. Our gambling addiction counselor is Althea Andrasia. Our rock and roll historian is Bruce Wade Hughes. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz. Our Russian chauffeur is Pekoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is you, Jess. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shivering songbirds in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks. Thanks so much for
you
listening.
You liked her, didn't you?
We're Click and Clack the Tappan Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1213, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we're collecting your first car stories.
And we've got some beauties like the car with the stuck Barry Manilow cassette that played Copacabana over and over again for 4 years.
Are you serious?
Okay, maybe it wasn't 4 years, but it was way too long, whatever it was. I can tell you that much. Anyway, you can check out other folks' first car stories and add your own if you like right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Ira Glass tries to show us how to retract entire programs whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.